Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often by the ghosts of doubt and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led an airy to the land I hold today. I am drinking from the fountain where I never would abide, for I've satisfied. Well, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures or adorning rich and gay. For I've trod the way before thee and the glory lingers near.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Deciphering prophetical chronology is crucial to accurate interpretation of Scripture. This sermon series will be a study of the 70 weeks of the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel is an Old Testament book of intense prophecy, much like the New Testament book of Revelation. The Lord revealed to Daniel through several visions of secular kingdoms that will rule the earth, and how the Jews and Messiah intertwine. These future kingdoms are known as the times of the Gentiles. The 70 weeks in Daniel is a prophetical time clock that portrays the two advents of Jesus Christ, the first being more chronologically defined, whereas the second is set apart mysteriously. The Apostle Paul wrote, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The Lord's first coming was the fulfillment of the first part of Daniel's vision. But there is another unfulfilled part of the prophecy. There is a second fulfillment that is about to unfold. The Apostle Paul also tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This event is still future. It is rapidly nearing its fulfillment. especially as we witness the horrific events on the world stage. The globalists, the Nimrod adorers, Mystery Babylon the Great, and all her abominable cohorts are waging war with God, fulfilling Psalm 2, which reads, in part, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." These earthly rulers and great merchants of the earth are in for a rude awakening. They think they are woke, but in reality they are drunk with madness, insanity, and false perceptions and ideologies. Jeremiah, who was also a holy man of God, filled with the Spirit, explains this madness. "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad." These globalists, world leaders, Marxist Democrats adore the Tower of Babel and Nimrod, her ancient founder, and they aim to restore her to her former glory in absolute rebellion to God. John the Revelator was given a similar vision in Revelation chapter 17, giving us more details to tie the loose ends of Daniel's prophecy. "There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Babylon is still alive, my friends, only it is not in the Middle East, but has transported her secret agenda globally. The world is in the throes of sheer madness with this fake pandemic and now the Delta variant that has locked down the world and caused billions to fear a microbe, yet there is no fear of God and his judgment against the vile sins that permeate the earth. Christian, the Lord has given us many tools to uncover who this great whore is and the beast she rides upon. It should therefore be easily decipherable who this woman is. I'll give you a hint. She declares herself to be the Queen of Heaven, and she's headquartered in Rome. If you missed an episode of this program and would like to review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel, and please hit the red subscribe button. The Fullness of Time, Part 9. We're going to be in Hosea. We see two Advents revealed in the following passage, mysteriously unveiled like Daniel's 70th week. "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." Okay? You're going to see two advents of the Lord in here. Two advents mean two comings. The first coming and the second coming of Christ. Two advents. I like to use that word advent a lot. That just means the coming of the Lord. It's a Latin word. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be, remember, I told you that the southern tribe just consisted of two tribes, Judah and Bethlehem, or the descendants of Benjamin, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. That talks about the birth of Christ.
Okay, Jesus, that was his first advent. He was born in Bethlehem, but he will be the ruler of Israel. Why do you think John the Baptist doubted and sent disciples when he was in jail, doubted that Jesus was the king? Because he doubted that Jesus was the Messiah because he didn't become king of Israel. He was just like everybody else, expecting the Messiah to come and turn Israel into a nation again and have a king and defeat the Roman armies and kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. But this delay, there's a delay for him to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. It means, it speaks of the birth of Christ, who was the Son of God, who was from everlasting to everlasting. He was God himself. He's the God-man. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Therefore will he give them up. What does that mean? Jesus gave up on Israel. Jesus gave up on Israel, and it's been 2,000 years. And I've talked about this on Mother's Day, about until that she which travaileth hath brought forth. What you read there in Zechariah is the revival in that last verse in Zechariah chapter 13, where the people will say, the Lord is my God. That's when Israel will come to Christ and accept Jesus Christ. And they will rejoice in the Lord and realize, but they're going to have a woman who's in travail, labor pains. Women, is that fun? No. It's going to be, the Lord says, he brings them through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. Through the fire. It's painful. Though, Miss Kim, on the third child, I almost stayed asleep the whole night. She was going to give birth to the child, baby. She forgot to wake me up. She wasn't in as much pain the first time around. And so therefore the travail hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. That means they get saved. So you see two advents in there, two comings of the Christ. Here's an interesting passage of scripture. This is amazing right here. On the millennial days, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Okay, that ties into where it says here, therefore he will give them up, which we saw in Micah, in the book of Micah. Therefore will he give them up. Here it says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. That's the Lord speaking, that he ascended up into heaven and he's waiting for Israel's repentance. And in the meantime, us Gentiles got saved, amen, for 2,000 years. And there have been Jews that have come to Christ, but it's few and far between. And seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Come. And so in their affliction, they will seek me early. It's amazing what they went through in the Holocaust, and yet they didn't seek the Lord, did they? They wanted to go back into their land, but they didn't seek the Lord. Now, here's Israel speaking. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us. After 2 days, will he revive us? Got your pens out? Your markers, those days are not literal 24-hour days. Those days are not literal 1 year. Those are millenniums. Those are a period of 1,000 years. How long has it been? 2,000 years since Christ came, since he gave them up. It's been 2,000 years since he went away. After 2 days, 2 millenniums, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. That third day speaks of the coming kingdom when Israel will be revived and raised up and we will live in his sight, and all those who came down from heaven with him in his army. But after 2 days, after 2 millenniums, will he revive us? And that speaks of, at the end of that 2,000-year period, it speaks of where the Lord will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And that they will bring forth, they will have brought forth that remnant, that saved remnant that shall return unto the children of Israel. And that is, I only learned that within the last 5 years, that those days there were millenniums. 5 years ago, I learned that. And that is just a powerful, powerful passage right there. After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, the resurrection, the kingdom, in the third day, and we shall live in his sight. So that Hosea passage there is speaking from the first time he came to the second time he comes. Now, the 70th day, the 70th week, there's going to be a covenant written. We've talked about that in the midst of that covenant, the Antichrist is going to declare himself God in the temple of Israel. And he's going to say he's God. He may worship, he may sacrifice a sow on the altar, which is an abomination in the eyes of Israel and in the eyes of God. And that's the abomination of desolation. But here's an interesting thought. Now, we've studied the trumpets, right? We have studied the trumpets. Remember, I believe I've taught you this in the services, not just on Wednesday, but what is the last trump in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Verse 51, it's a long chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What is that last trump? That's speaking of the rapture. What was the first trump? Remember, I taught you this. What was the first trump? We were to go into the Old Testament and find it in the Old Testament. It was when God descended on Mount Sinai, and he called the Israelites to the mountain and called Moses to the top of the mountain. It was a trumpet sound. God descended on the top of the mountain with fire and smoke and clouds. It's a picture of Christ coming back the second time on the clouds, which is the last trump. The first trump was Mount Sinai. So that speaks of the rapture. Okay, now this is really cool. This I have not taught you before, all right? Remember, events in the, I told you at the beginning, the creation account, most of us would look at that as historical, but there's prophecy in that. Most of us would look at Mount Sinai and Moses going to the top of the mountain as historical. But I just pointed out to you that's prophetical. It speaks of a future event that's going to take place. What did the Israelites do in the wilderness after that event? Shortly after that event, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they went into the promised land. Now, and then they had this 40 years of wandering. Well, the 70 weeks is 7 weeks. The 70th week is 7 years. Does that take place right after the rapture? No. There's going to be a lag of possibly 40 years. Up to 40 years. Up to 40 years before that 70th week takes place. So there's going to be a rapture, which is a picture of Mount Sinai. But then the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then Moses died. And Joshua became the new ruler of Israel. Joshua is where we get the name Jesus in the New Testament. It's the same name. Joshua in the Hebrew is Jesus in the Greek. And what was the big event before the Israelites started conquering all of Canaan land? Jericho. When they went, what did they do? They walked around Jericho one time. They did it for 7 days. 7 days. The first day they walked around the blowing trumpets. 1 day. No shouting or anything. The second day they woke up, marched around Jericho, did the same thing, blew trumpets. The priests blew, seven priests blew trumpets, seven trumpets, as they marched around Jericho. On the seventh day, what did they do? They went around seven times, blowing the trumpets, and then when they completed it, they blew the trumpets and the people shouted and the walls came tumbling down. And that's a picture of Christ coming to the earth and destroying the enemies. And that 7 year, that 7 day period is a picture of that 70th week. When all the seals and the trumpets and the vials shall be opened up and poured out upon the inhabitants of the earth at that time. And let's look at some of those things that are going to take place during that time. Open your Bibles to Revelation, just so you have an idea of how horrible things are going to be in the earth during that period of time. Chapter 9, just go to chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. There's a star that falls in verse 11 in chapter 8 of Revelation. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Go back to verse 2 there in chapter 9. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Basically, they're opening hell up. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. How does the scorpions of the earth have power? When you get stung, it hurts. And in those days shall men seek death and not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So they'll be stung, but they won't die. Stung over and over again, and they wish they could die, and they won't die. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto the battle. and on their heads were as were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Can you imagine what these things are going to look like that come out of hell? The bottomless pit. You could read other things in here. It says in the sixth trumpet that there's going to be an army, verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000 thousands, and I heard the number of them. Multiply that together, and you know what you get? 200 million man army is going to sweep the earth. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having the breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Again, you're going to have a great death. Third, it says, by these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. There's going to be great death upon the earth. There's going to be scorching heat by the sun during that period of time. That men are going to curse God. Instead of repent, they're going to curse God.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.